with this. We need a copywriter.
I know. I'm sorry.
My lord.
Let's not insult any other races or cultures.
The wee wee frog frog.
Way to keep it classy, Canada.
The Finnish conspiracy.
Make them pay.
With chemistry, you can melt ice. You can't control the pop if you don't control the pop. The button stopped working. I've had to press it so many times.
Toothpaste, Fenris wolf, and rotations per minute.
It's a love affair.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, plug your computers into your home stereo systems. Rip the knob off after you've cranked it up because we're about to begin the episode 34 of Three in the Box. Welcome to the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. I, of course, am the Meat Beast. We are recording Wednesday, February 5th, 2014. To my right immediately is Aaron, bald with a big beard.
Eh?
All right, across from me in a stocking cap and also a fairly decent beard is Kenny.
Yo.
Oh, yo, yo.
And finally sitting at the table with us where we can see him. And I can't believe it. I can't believe he wears a button down every week, doesn't he? I never noticed.
He's all business.
All
business.
Our producer, Jive Midnight.
Good evening, folks.
Thank you very much for listening, and
You can follow us on Twitter. Don't forget, we are at the number 3 in the box. That is at 3 in the box.
Yes. So let's dive right into it with the Wild recap for the week. The Wild went 1-1-1 this week with an overtime loss against the Flames, which was bookended by a heartbreaking loss to the Avalanche on the Thursday prior, and a win last night against the Lightning. What do we got to say about all this fun?
The Avs game. I mean, that's the one where we basically had no business being in that game.
It looked like we had no business being in that game.
If you watch the first two periods, it didn't look like we belonged there.
The thing that irritates the hell out of me out of that game is we fought our way back. We did manage to tie it up 4-4, and the Avalanche managed to come back and tag one more goal in, the last 30 seconds, if not less?
Right.
And win it in regulation. I was actually trying to figure out how much time was left in the game when it was still 4-3, and then it was 4-4, and then it was 5-4, and still couldn't see behind the closed captioning at work while I was at the bar.
All these one goal games, it's draining. It would be nice to get a couple games rattled off here where it's, a two goal win.
You want offense and consistency.
I know. It's a pipe dream we're talking about right now.
That's a lot to ask for.
It reminds me of the quote, "You can have it done good, fast, or cheap. Pick two."
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, at least Saturday night, they did manage to tie it up and take it to overtime.
Still got a point out of the deal.
Yeah.
Right. And I believe it was the Avs game that was basically lost by Brodziak.
He had just a crappy game. He scored on Kemper.
He had the game losing goal
instead of the game winning. Game losing.
Is that in the stat sheets?
It ought to be.
There really should be a game losing goal stat. Like if you score on your own goalie to cause the game to be lost.
He was just terrible. Everyone has bad games, but he had a really bad game.
It was absolutely horrible.
And oddly enough, isn't he one of the people in our new banner photo on our Facebook page for the three in the box that occurred during that game?
Yep. Yeah.
He is the new three in the box, along with Matt Cook and Nate Prosser. And, I got to say, looking at our old banner photo on Facebook, we had... who was it? It was Clutterbuck, Koivu, and Justin Falk. Two of those guys are no longer with us. Next year is Cook and Brodziak. Hell, Prosser might not even be here. There's a chance that none of those three guys are with the team next year.
I would like to retain Cook.
Three of you guys, you put one thing, you're out of this game.
I would also like to retain Cook. I've been arguing for Cook since before he got signed to the Wild, and everybody tried to ask me about it, knowing that I didn't like him years ago.
And I think he signed for 2 years, so...
We might have him one more year.
Yeah, so and Prosser, though, he's on the fence as it is.
Yeah.
so who knows?
I do argue still that Cook has cleaned up his game and is playing well. Totally lost my train of thought. Damn it.
But going off of these games this week, you know, the game last night is actually, it was kind of a boring game, to be honest.
A lot of north-south.
Ton of north-south, back and forth. It was no one really taking it deep. And the Wild had a few chances. I know they rang one off the pipe.
Hala had a nice breakaway.
God, I think it was Scandella, I think, that whiffed. He had an open net, and he could have just buried it in something.
I think Cook had another awesome opportunity last night and hit pipe.
Right. It's it's been I think over this last week, the Wild have hit the pipe and crossbar so many times.
Has been a lot of ringing going on.
They hit the pipe so much that they're like crackheads, you know? It's
well, at least they're not hitting the bong, right?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, did we really go there? Okay, we did. Brilliant.
With that, we had the game on against the Avs where the third period, the first line was just electric. Parisi, Pominville, and Granlund scored like three goals, I think, in that third period. They were just awesome.
Which is now our first line.
Yeah.
I kind of like that line.
But it's
much better than our original first line.
We just need the other lines to actually score, which has been a problem. But with that, because of this great week, Parisi was actually named number one star of the NHL. He had 8 points in three games.
But we can't say great week.
That's best week, best of the NHL this week.
Two losses and one win?
No, Parisi.
Parisi, number one star of the league.
Parisi, sure.
Yep.
What I'm saying, I thought you, when you said great week, I thought you meant the Wild as a whole. No. I apologize.
Parisi had a great week. He's on pace right now to score around 56 points in 68 games because of his injury. And he'll be around 30 goals. He's currently at 18. Last time the Wild have had a player score more than 25 goals was 2007-2008, when Gabrick had 42 and Rolston had 31.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, with that said, obviously our top line is doing great, but what do the Wild need to do to get the rest of their line scoring at this point?
I think first thing is they need to stop playing patty cake on the power play.
That's been their problem for how long now?
That's your best opportunity to start scoring goals when you got a man up and you're sitting there passing back and forth to each other. It's like they'll go two or three games great, solid, and that's the ones that they're winning and getting a ton of goals is where they're just peppering the goalie on the power play.
They're taking chances.
Have to argue
absolutely
with you, though.
And then you get into games where they just go into this huge drought where their power plays consist of 95% passing, and yeah, they're in the zone the entire time, but nothing's coming out of it.
Okay, I need to ask you this question then, because this is almost causing me an aneurysm. How do you justify that statement knowing that the Wild did score at least one power play goal, if not more, in every single game we're discussing this week?
By the All-Star. I know the All-Star got one.
All three of these games this week, they did score power play goals. Even with the little bit of patty cake and tic-tac-toe, they did open it up and know when to pick the shot to rip it into the net.
They still default to patty cake, though. That's the problem.
They default to it. They're paying attention to when their shot is, at least these last three games. I won't say anything about any other games, but I do have to bring that up, that every single game they tagged a power play goal.
I'm sorry, if you don't get any chances on a power play over a two-minute span, you got a problem.
Well, that's agreed. That's not the argument. They scored on the power play a minimum of three times, one each game. That's a given. That's a fact. So we can't argue the patty cake being a problem.
What's your opinion on how they're going to get the rest of the lines to score then?
Oh, God. Because
that's the thing. The power play is going to be your top two lines, basically, anyways. But this goes deeper than that. We need more offense. You always need more offense. And you're going to need those bottom lines to produce. And
peppering the net, I think, to answer your question, agreed, right. Jerome, right away, agreed. Peppering the net obviously needs to happen more, but more in regulation play, not in power play or penalty kill, just in even up strength, or even I'll take shorthanded at that point.
Well, oh, they've been actually doing really well shorthanded.
Cut down a shorty against Calgary.
Well, the only thing that was upsetting me was actually that you said something about the power play, where they have been doing good recently.
They've been doing all right.
They've been scoring every game on the power play.
Yeah, but if you have five penalties, that's, you know.
Or, you know, like, what was that, the Avs game where we spent a whole period in the box, at least a man down overall, if not more? I know we've had a few games like that this year. I know the Stars game when we were in Dallas was the same way. But
basically, to answer your original question, Aaron, what we need to do is what we did a little over a week ago when we were playing the Ducks. If you remember back to that game.
Right.
Enlighten us, O'Jive. I mean,
unleash the beast. Get after it.
Well, and that's part of the thing is if you're not taking a shot, you're not creating rebound opportunities. So parking a guy right in front of the goalie isn't going to do you a damn bit of good.
And tic-tacking around the edges, not going to do you anything.
Who's won anything by tic-tacking around the edges?
Right.
No one. No one.
You got to get to the dirty areas and play hard.
Generally speaking, the team that takes more shots wins more games, in a general sense.
True. You know, I'll give you that.
Where does Parise score most of his goals?
In the dirty spot.
In the dirty spot. Right. He's getting the rebounds. The dirty
area. I'm also going to say on that, though, is tic-tac-toeing around to draw the goalie out while then taking it to the dirty areas as soon as you've got the goalie, at least, or the defense, moved enough.
But the problem is
that you can bring it into the dirty areas and make something happen off a quick rebound.
They're too far out, though. I mean, it's great if you can tic-tac-toe around in the zone, but the thing is, when you're out that far, no goalie's getting fooled at that point.
Yeah. No, and you know what? The goalie has enough open space in front of him being a man down that he can see any shot.
Right. But really, the problem is it's not just on the power play. It's in even strength, too, that they're suffering, really.
Definitely more shots on goal is needed.
Yeah.
Whether it's straight power play or whether it is, you know, even 5-on-5 or breakaways. Pepper the goalie, get some rebounds, get some of the garbage goals.
All right, so Jive, I think you got something to talk to us about.
Yeah, well, along with Parise's great week, being the number one NHL star of the week, he also got a call from the U.S. Olympic hockey coach, and he was named the team captain for the 2014 Olympics coming up here.
Captain America.
Captain America, that's right.
I saw plenty of terrible Photoshop jobs with Parise's head on Captain America from the movies.
Oh, good gosh.
And I'm pretty sure some of them had him wearing the sweater, too, from those promo pictures.
Please tell me one of them was at least the Captain America outfit painted on the Iron Man uniform with the Boba Fett gear strapped onto it with his face.
They were really bad. That's all I can tell you.
You better get on that one, Josh. Also named as the alternate captain was our very own Suter as well.
Yes, Ramsey.
So the Wild represent, you know.
Gentlemen, yeah. Quick cheers to all that.
So
to our home team, people being two of the leaders for Team USA.
So representing or not, how come they're not winning with the team that they should be taking home a cup
with?
We've got
Team USA playing for us.
I think we just discussed that.
We got Team USA playing for us. Where are we falling short here?
How do we not have the sample for I'm a Real American from the Hulk Hogan movie or whatever it was?
We only have
stupid. I'm Canadian. And I love cigarettes.
We only have Canadian samples here.
Wait, so Minnesota really is the next province? All right.
No.
So, well,
they will. I can't because they won't let me in.
So, Aaron, you asked. Why can't we win when we got, you know, Team USA on our side here, basically?
Right.
Well, that brings me to ask the question, how do you guys think that our U.S. Olympic hockey team is going to do? Are Parise and Suter, are they going to be enough to help the team out or get them over the hump? Are they going to bring us home gold or are we going to leave it to the favorites, Team Canada?
I mean, Team USA is a solid team. I mean, And the fact that Canada was just recently announced that Stamkos is going to be sitting out the Olympics for Team Canada because of his leg injury, broken leg earlier in the season. That's a huge hit to Canada. But, you know, look at the Team USA. You got Patrick Kane. You got Paul Stastny.
Pavelski.
You've got TJ Oshie.
I think
Dustin Brown, even though he's dirty as hell. Dustin Brown.
You know, maybe he'll take out some of those guys in the KHL.
Did Bufflin make it to the team? I didn't know.
No, he didn't.
I didn't think so, but had to ask.
There was a weight restriction, I think.
On the plane.
Oh, wow. For a Minnesota native, you guys are just cruel and unkind.
There's a reason his nickname is Big Buff. Yeah.
Now, let's leave his sex life out of this. But, all right, where were we?
So, so will Parisi and Suter be able to help the U.S. take gold? I would say, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's a reason we're paying them a lot of money. I think they can. I think Russia's actually got the upper hand, though. They're playing at home.
I don't know, man, because look at the last Olympics in Vancouver where Russia wanted to make it be known that the KHL was a big contender with the NHL, and half their team was KHL, and they got just stomped on.
True.
You know, if they let their egos get in front of them, you know, yes, Parisi and Suter, I think, will definitely add, though.
But just to add to that, at least in the NHL, home team wins 54% of the games in the NHL.
That's not a lot over right in the middle, you know?
This is true, but when you've only got a 46% chance to win and the other team's got a 54, considering your talent's even, the home team's going to win most of the time.
Are they really even talents, though?
That's a good question, but, you know. I think Russia's going to be the one to beat. I hate to say it. Finland might be a close one, too, because of their proximity.
Who all does Team USA have as goalies again?
Ryan Miller.
Yeah, I know we got Miller. Really
Quick.
Saw Miller get shelved today.
Okay, so Miller, yeah. Quick, and anybody else?
I don't know.
I know we got a third. I can't think of who it is. I think we got a chance. Quick has been playing for the Cup here and there. Miller.
Yeah, but Team Canada has, like, Carey Price and... I think Luongo, maybe.
Price, Luongo, and...
I can't remember.
Well, Luongo's probably not going to get much ice time.
If Luongo's... It's probably going to be Carey Price. Actually, they might have pulled Luongo at
Jimmy
this
Howard.
Point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Although, is he healthy right now? Because
I believe he is, yeah. He came back from all the nagging injuries he had.
Because ultimately, I do think it'll come down to the goaltending the same way it comes down to for the Cup.
Well... Yeah. I think we got one of the top defensive men on the squad with Ryan Suter.
Yeah. Who can also score from the blue line.
Yeah.
But he's a defensive defenseman.
He's a defensive defenseman, but he knows how to hold it in the offensive zone greatly.
Yeah.
My big thing is there is a huge difference in the fact that it won't be slowed down by anybody dropping the gloves or getting too chippy.
I have to probably agree with your first point, because whenever the Stanley Cup rolls around or, you know, you're playing for some sort of a championship, it always comes down to goaltending. Whoever has that hot hand in goal, that's the one who's going to end up winning. And that's just how it rolls with these things. I mean, and it can be any given day. For any given team.
The hot-handed goaltender we're talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that said, I think that Team USA probably has a decent shot I'm sure they'll bring us home a medal. I'm hoping that it's gold.
I may have misphrased. I did try and use the second point to reinforce the first point, that since there will be less stoppage from chippy underhanded play.
Okay, but
it will come down to the goaltender.
But check this: I'm looking at the Russian Olympic roster. In goal, you have Bobrovsky, and then you have Varlamov.
Okay,
that's going to be tough.
Oh wow!
And I think Varlamov is going to be backing up Bobrovsky because
either one of those should not be backing up. They should both be
right.
They should be playing against each other.
The rest of the team is a little flaky. I think they struggle a little on defense. But obviously their forwards speak for themselves.
Their forwards is the big thing, because the way the Russians always won was the fact that all three Russians on the front line would cross the blue line at the exact same time. And there'd be such quick, tight passes that you had to pay attention to all three of them while you were trying to defend.
You mean, you look at that top line, you got Ovechkin, you got Malkin, and I'm guessing Semin might be the third forward on that.
Yeah.
you got Kovalchuk. I forgot about him.
Oh, yeah.
Kovalchuk. Datsyuk.
Oh, good God. It just keeps getting deeper, but the Russians have always had a strong, much the same way, like, the at least Finn, you know you're getting a strong center and a strong goalie, and then the rest is going to be questionable for Team Finland.
Well, you know, look at the Capitals, and they had a very strong Russian presence. How many times did they get knocked out second round?
Right.
This point. Is true. But,
you know, strong presence, but very individualistic.
Much the same way, like I said, Finland turns out great goalies and great centers.
Well, not to change.
And that will be something that will be their team's leading strengths.
Right. But not to change topics, but to go from Olympic people players to people that will never play on the Olympic team. Mike Rupp, he's made his return to the Wild after being scratched for so many games.
He could maybe be a huge addition to the Olympic team.
Right.
I'd love to see Rupp in the Olympics.
But he made his return from the Wild's healthy scratch list, and he played in two of the Wild's losses this week. He didn't play in the win yesterday, so he's played two games, and both were losses. That makes it now the Wild are 3-9 when Rupp starts the season. Should the Wild look at moving him like they did Konopka? You know, Rupp is there for fighting. That's one of his big things, you know, to be the tough guy. But you got guys like Prosser going and fighting because Rupp isn't. What value is Rupp actually adding at this point? He takes really dumb penalties. I know that cost us a great deal in that Avs game.
Yeah, it did.
Quite a bit.
So should the Wild look at trying to move him?
God, I wish we had the Jeopardy theme right now while everybody chimed in.
Yeah, well, what are they really going to get for him?
I mean, probably nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, much like Konopka. Yeah. But what you're doing by keeping him is holding back guys like Zucker or Fontaine, you know, holding those guys back by playing Rupp and then losing the game because you played Rupp.
I don't know if you completely lost the game because of Rupp. I mean, I think Brodziak was more of an impact than Rupp was in that game.
It's still a team sport. So.
Yeah, but if he's contributing to the games where they lose,
maybe
where's the common denominator here?
Maybe he's just that lucky that he plays during the losses. So, you know, so sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. It's a matter of playing the lottery. I mean, it's not like Rupp, you know, scored on our own goal. It's not like he is, you know, necessarily been invaluable when he's been playing.
But he hasn't done much this year. He did a little bit more last year.
Yeah.
But when he's been healthy and playing, he hasn't really contributed that much to the team, unfortunately.
How many people have contributed really this year?
No, we're talking about somebody who only has contributed in penalty minutes.
Right. He's got 13 penalty
seriously.
Minutes and an assist in 12 games.
And that's in the last, what?
That's what you see, but
the last
you got to look beyond. You have to look beyond statistics. I mean, there's things beyond statistics about.
I don't think he's even doing the small things right.
Have
though.
You seen Moneyball yet, Jive? Have you seen Moneyball yet?
What's his plus minus? Does anybody have the plus minus on Rupp?
He hasn't played enough to have one. He's got no goals,
he's
no
a
assists,
plus one.
No
he's
points.
At a plus one.
He is at a plus one overall. I'm looking at him as nothing.
So how are we gonna lay it on Rupp? I'm gonna say the plus one is probably your best stat on whether a
All right.
person on the
here,
ice.
Here, let's
is
start with his
up.
Last five games on his ice time alone. Let's just start with that. So we've got 28 minutes and 32 seconds out of his last five games. Five games.
Yeah. We know Suter plays that in one game. Okay.
Suter plays at least 12 minutes more than that a game. So. Just bringing that up. And the only stat he's got is penalties and minutes.
That's fine. But based on his plus minus.
Oh, wait. No, he did have.
How can you lay the blame on him
in those five for games, all those losses? In those five games, he did have two shots.
Okay.
Two shots.
You know, but when you're in the penalty box, the plus minus doesn't count against you.
Nope.
Hence why he's at a zero.
But no, he's at a one.
He's in the penalty box.
Wait,
so
you
got
I'm looking at just the last five games.
Oh.
I've got him just for the last five games he played.
Well, I say,
your thought on Rupp?
I want to keep him personally. I think we do need at least one person who, if things start hitting the fan, somebody to go out there and at least start policing the situation a little bit. But I'm of the thought of, yes, let's keep a bruiser, an enforcer, but somebody that can at least still somewhat skate, not just a full-on bruiser. I don't think Rupp's been given the chance with the Wild to show his complete abilities. Just my take.
As Josh pointed out there, in the last five games that he did play, what, he got 28 minutes worth of ice time. Is that his fault?
No, not really.
I mean, so Yo-Yo keeps playing as, you know, top line. I mean, it's obviously you want to get it out there and get some people scoring goals, but.
I'm firmly in the Free Zucker camp.
Free Zucker.
Free Zucker. Because there's no reason a kid like him should be scratched for Rupp. If Rupp is out there and he's not fighting or not causing a disturbance, there's a problem. If Prosser's getting into fights because Rupp won't deal with it, that's a problem.
Well, I think at least against Colorado, Rupp was out on the ice when Prosser ended up starting to square off. And Rupp didn't have much of a choice because Prosser kind of took the stage on it. So, I mean, there is that. But, Aaron, I got a question for you. Being of the Free Zucker stage in state, are you his mom? Because you sound like a mother Zucker right now.
Did we already do that
he
joke?
He kind of looks like it. I think he looks like it, too, doesn't he?
I think we did it on Twitter.
Oh, you're right.
All right, and
stole my joke.
And use it against you.
I know.
I also am going to say. I am also going to say, however, that even though I wasn't asked yet, I do think that Rupp should be producing any sort of stat more if he's going to be allowed bench space. If we are going to have a successful team, if we are going to have somebody that is a designated thug, he should be producing any sort of stat more.
More penalty minutes for Rupp.
More penalty minutes. Wait, more shots on goal, more assists, more anything, more hits even.
And he's not a center, so it's not like Konopka, where at least he had the benefit of he could win a face-off.
Konopka was good on the face-off. Rupp can win a fight, though.
But
if he fights.
Kenny has a point.
You know, Konopka
was at least more willing to drop the gloves.
No,
Konopka would drop the gloves quicker.
Hold on.
Get his face punched.
Josh, can I clarify a point on that?
Go ahead.
Konopka was willing to drop the gloves, and people were willing to drop the gloves with Konopka because they knew they could win. No, not everybody's willing to drop the gloves with Rupp.
They're like, you look like you need your face massaged with my fist.
I like both these players, don't get me wrong, but I do agree that Rupp, if we got rid of Konopka, Rupp should at least be putting up some more stats for the first line.
Who knows? Maybe he is John and nobody wants to go with him because they're afraid of what's going to happen, especially if they got Prosser out there at the same time. Hey, I'll try fighting Prosser over Rupp instead because I got a better shot of...
Or Stoner, because I know
Stoner... Or Stoner. Stoner's gotten into quite a bit of physical.
Both of those two are willing to drop the gloves at a moment's notice. Admittedly, I do agree we need a bruiser. I'm just saying...
I'm not even sure we do.
If it's the bruiser, we need to make it official, much the same way that... that we did with...
I mean, come on, we watched some of those games, though, where we didn't have anybody out there that was willing to drop the gloves, and we just got, physically, we just got
smoked. I would say that happened in the Calgary game this week.
Actually, valid point, yeah.
And who was playing that game? Rupp.
Well...
And the physical play wasn't... The overall physical play, not even talking fighting at this point.
No.
We're not talking about Bruce, we're just talking about grinding it out physically.
Right.
In the actual play of the game. No fighting, no nothing. Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that, Aaron.
Yeah, I think that's almost even been the Wild's downfall all year long. I mean, they just, the effort is not consistent.
What I was about to lose my verbosity on Kenny about, of course, was we haven't really had a bruiser since Boogs. We've had Konopka and Rupp.
John Scott.
We had John Scott.
That was post.
Yep.
Boogs.
He was during and post.
During, I know, but and Big John Scott. Bully, I thought he left around the same time.
I think we had John Scott for maybe two thirds of a season after that.
If we
could
get our producer to double check that,
he was stat, around for.
I think he got traded midway through the next year, but the Wild had no shot at the playoffs or something. So yeah.
That could very well be. All I'm saying is we had our, like, you remember Lemaire in post going, yeah, if you want to pick a fight with one of our players, how about you do it with our fighter? He's there. This is his number.
But I don't
take it.
Does this team really need to worry about who they're going to have as a fighter if they can't score?
Well, when Lemaire was coach, yes, because they were playing the defensive trap, and of course they were going to have to worry about protecting their scores since they were playing defensive trap, and most players would adjust, most teams would adjust to play to that, doing the same. Right now, trying to actually play the game and score goals, I think you are more in the right on what you're saying on that. We don't necessarily need it, but if we are going to have one, we should have somebody who's a good two-way player who also is big enough to actually just take people out. Otherwise, don't waste the bench space.
It looks like for John Scott, it was between 2010 and 2011 season that
match
he went over to.
Yeah, so it was midway through, I think, or two-thirds of the way through. Mm-hmm. So with taking up bench space, Josh, who's not taking up bench space right now?
Oh, good God, the injury update. Yeah! All right, so Scandella went out just against the Lightning.
Last night.
Yep, very early on in the game. I want to say it was in the first couple of minutes that he ended up going out with a sprained MCL. Similar injury to what Coyle had at the beginning of the season, and Coyle missed 11 games out of that. So hopefully everything will be good by the time the Olympics are done. Also, got another boost last night when Spurgeon returned from a month-long lower body injury, which ultimately was a broken foot. Koivu's still out, and now it's debatable whether he's going to play for Finland. So the Finnish conspiracy is kind of meh.
Has anybody heard anything more about that? Weren't the Wild going to be testing out some sort of protective piece that they were going to wear in their skates? I mean, because they had several players.
There was a doctor, or one of the team doctors, or a team doctor from Canada or something like that, that had made protective ankle pieces for, I want to say it was a California team. I cannot place who it was. There's a few other
teams using them, I think.
Rising.
We're talking about Spurgeon right now, right?
We're talking about ankle injuries.
Okay, yeah.
With Spurgeon.
Yeah.
So basically what he was willing to do was mold all the players' ankles and make the protective gear for them. They were going to do it, and they wanted to at least make it all the players try it out. I think in practice, minimum. I know a lot of the players complain, like when they're doing crossovers, that the piece is actually rubbing on the ice. I think as of right now, it's still going to be completely elective, whether they wear them for games or practices. But they were going to have all the players get custom molded pieces and at least wear them, at least try them out.
I think that's a brilliant idea. I mean, you're just talking about more padding and more protection in the vulnerable areas of the skaters.
This is true, but if it's inhibiting your ability to skate, you know, do you want to protect that ankle that, you know, could possibly get hit, or do you want to suffer on your skating worse than what it already is?
Okay, so there has been some proof that it impedes skating?
No, this is all player opinion.
Okay. It's no different than wearing a visor, you know.
Okay, fair enough. And ultimately, what I'm looking at is maybe start early with it, not for the same reasons as a visor. Start early with it so you develop the muscles that are required in your ankle to maneuver for your own feet to protect them.
Here's what I see happening.
The visors are now required by any younger players.
Which plays into what I was going to say is here's what I see happening is that you're going to start seeing, especially down in like the squirts and mites, where they're going to start wearing the ankle protectors, kind of like what you're saying with developing early. The kids are going to get used to skating with it.
Not to protect from pucks, but to protect from the other kids hacking up their
eyes. Well, at that point, yes. But give it time before college actually starts making it official that they got to wear them.
Right. I don't think they'll do it as kids, though, because ultimately that's going to put too much financial burden on the parents.
No, it's not.
An already high budget.
You're not looking at custom made.
Yeah, there'll be a one size for kids.
But I think what's going to happen is you're going to start seeing teams requiring some of the younger guys to start wearing them. And eventually, kind of like with the visors, you're going to see it. You're going to get grandfathered in with some of the players.
Soon they'll be on the ice in a suit of armor.
Oh, they'll look like football players.
Right.
As long as they can carry a mace while they're wielding a suit of armor. Like a mace in one hand, a stick in the other. I'm okay with that.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, with all sports, the progression the protective gear progression has come because these players are not the players that they were 60, 70 years ago, or even less than that, where the guys were working full-time blue-collar jobs in the off-season and then conditioning for maybe 3 weeks and then getting into the full season.
Maybe 3 weeks.
And they had heavier sticks back then, so they're probably the shot power is a lot lower.
Yeah, you didn't have the graphite sticks that you could get the slap shots.
Heavier sticks, but the sticks you used to hit.
No, it's the reverse of that. You got guys that are a lot stronger and shooting a lot harder and hitting a piece of gear that has not developed or has not gotten any better.
No, it hasn't.
From 80 years ago.
It has gotten better.
But
they don't know how a real man works.
Oh, good God.
But anyway,
so Kenny, what's your real man job again? getting back to the same topic. Koivu, questionable for Finland. If he's 90%, should he play for Finland? Or do we want him actually scratched so that he can properly play for the Wild?
If I'm the Wild management, I am going to say no. I pay you your dough. You are not ready to go, you don't go.
I would say I have to probably agree. If he's at 99, though, I say skate him because that means he's going to get conditioning so he'll be back and playing for him by the time he's back. If it's 90%, that's when you're in the area where, like, I don't know if I feel comfortable with
Don't want to retweet.
Granted,
anything.
It's international play, so it's going to be less...
Less physical.
Yeah, but the physicality is still not going to cut down on those shots getting shot at your ankle, which is how this happened originally.
Right.
Oh, God. You know, I do have to argue one thing, though. There's every 4 years you get to compete for... And really, what do you think is more important, a Stanley Cup ring or a gold medal? Which do you think gives you more pride? None of us are playing for them. We can't realistically understand what that is to be playing for a team outside of your country. Are you playing for the cup ring or are you playing for the gold medal?
That's apples to apples, man.
Exactly.
No, I think apples to apples.
No, I'm
actually
going
to say that's kind of apples to apples. Apples to pears. How about that? Much closer fruit.
I'm going to say gold medal doesn't pay your mortgage, doesn't pay your lease on your car. Doesn't do anything other than give you a warm fuzzy.
You're actually going to discount pride entirely.
Yes.
You're going to say pride has nothing to do with it. You thug. You are so thug. I love you for it, Aaron.
Thug. You got bills to pay, man.
You do. And
not have problems in honestly, a bitch ain't one.
Now, you remember a handful of teams, Olympic teams in history. You remember a handful of them, but that soon fades away.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, yeah.
If you're smart with your money, you're a millionaire for the rest of your life.
Where's your paycheck? True.
Right, yeah. I mean, in 20 years, you know, or 10 years is, you know, Koivu going to look back. He'll probably look back fondly on that, but, you know, if he jeopardizes his health by playing in this game and can't make money for the rest of his life, can't enjoy hockey in the same way, you know, I don't know.
And, you know, honestly, if I was 90% at this point, I might say, yeah, I don't think I can play. The security's a little questionable over there.
Well,
right. So, yeah. No, that's
it's a good excuse to stay home.
Yeah. With the current location of the Olympics, that is another thing that I wasn't even taking into account at that point. So, I was actually just asking about which one is more important if you were in that position. Which one would be more important to you?
Koivu is what, 31?
He's right around 30, yeah.
Something like that.
So probably about one of his last.
It could be
not maybe one more, but
probably maybe one more last. Olympics. I mean, I think he got a bronze.
Oh, he'll probably. I mean, he's playing for Finland, so he could be in another two.
Well, I think Saku's back in again this year, isn't he?
Right. Yeah.
So I mean, yeah, he could potentially have one or two more Olympics, but again, the chances of getting the gold.
I don't currently see Saku on the lineup.
Oh, maybe he's not this year then.
Koivu is 30, by the way.
30? Okay, that's what I thought.
I do not currently see Saku on the lineup. That might be changing, but Miko is on the lineup.
Maybe they just put a Koivu in there and they're just going to leave the sweater as Koivu and whoever... Whatever one shows up gets to play.
I mean, looking
you
at it...
You got Miko and Saku in the locker room, rock, scissoring, paper. I'm going to play this period.
What number does Saku wear?
9, I think.
As a quick scan right now, the oldest player for the team is Timu Solani, born
he's like 100
in 1970. So yeah, he's over 40, but he's listed on there right now.
Yeah, so we'll see. But then again, well, this is not right. Interesting.
I mean. If you want to look at it, Finland took the bronze last Olympics.
Right.
They took the silver the Olympics prior to that. Two Olympics prior to that, in 98, they took the bronze. In 94, they took the bronze. In 88, they took the silver. They're dying for another shot at the gold.
Right.
I can totally understand why, especially when you're talking about somebody who owns a team in their homeland that plays for the NHL here in Minnesota. I can understand why he'd be like, I want to be on the ice there. I need to inspire my team that I own, that I occasionally play for during the offseason. And I also need to just represent my country. The honor there is a huge thing. That's the only reason I even brought it up.
All right. Well, speaking of the Olympics, we got the Olympic break coming up. We got some ups and downs with that. During the Olympic break, we got a few options. Well, Veyu, first of all, was placed on waivers today. Hala is likely to be assigned to Iowa for the Olympic break. In the NHL, there's a rule that says you're entitled to an Olympic break if you participate in 16 of your team's last 20 games. Thursday, tomorrow night against the Preds, the last game before the break, will be Hala's 15th. With that being said, Kemper will not be sent down, as that will be his 17th game in the past 20, either playing as backup or as a starting goalie.
So is that how it was worded, entitled to an Olympic break? So like,
oh, that's a lawyer CBA thing. Like,
I mean,
yeah.
He deserves it,
right? I mean, what if Kemper wants to go down there and keep in game form? You know,
I
mean,
I suppose it probably would be his choice.
Yeah,
possibly.
Is it his choice?
But probably,
or is the NHL saying it?
Honestly, it's probably. I mean, I know you're probably going to get to it, but you know, should he get a rest? Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I would have to say. It's probably a good thing, considering the way that Yo has been just, you know, riding the goalies over the last couple seasons. So, you know...
I wholeheartedly think he should take a break. Because, I mean, with Yo's history, he's going to just ride him out.
Yo!
Exactly.
Yeah. And, you know, so he takes a week off. We got, what, 3 weeks to go here? I mean, that's a long time to... get sloppy, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, well, you all know what kind of trouble we can find when we're not working in just a day or two. I mean, next thing
he's a young kid.
He's
dude.
A young kid. I mean, next thing you know, we're going to be hearing about him out on the town.
I got one word that Aaron and Jive will understand. Grantsburg.
Grantsburg, exactly. This is what happens when you give guys a little bit of freedom for a few days.
You know, there's a, you know, Kemper has a Grantsburg somewhere.
Oh yeah. So yeah, I mean, Olympic break, get some guys some rest. And actually, going back to Scandella, they're thinking, being that it's similar to what Coyle had, where he missed 11 games, it's generally like a 2 to 3 week miss. He's got a 20-day break with the Olympic break.
So he might be good.
There's a good possibility he can recoup and be back after the Olympic break with the Wild.
That's great.
That's something we'd very much look forward to seeing.
Yeah.
So, other question for you guys. You think Fayu's going to get picked up off of waivers? No. Yeah.
Maybe for the Panthers?
Well, the sad part is we traded for him.
We traded him again. We got him back.
Not just once, but at least a second time we got him back.
I don't know. He's a contributor on a third or fourth line. I mean,
yeah.
If a team needs to fill a hole
for the Winnipeg Jets, you're right.
So, that's what she said.
So how does this? Okay, if he's just filling a hole, where does Rupp fit in with that whole debate? Then is Rupp just filling a hole? All right, we're not going to go there.
Wow.
I brought it up. I'm dropping this one right now.
I can't believe you're telling us that much about your dating life.
Nope. So, kind of brought it up briefly. There is only one game that the Wild have left on our schedule, our weekly agenda.
Yep.
That's tomorrow night against Nashville Predators. It's going to be kind of a weird game. Aaron and I are going to actually be at that game. You'll see us on TV.
As a quick aside, for the people listening in on Cyanet Radio, when this airs on there, yes, they'll be sitting at the game watching it while you're hearing us discuss it now, because you have the one-day delay.
Yeah, and it's going to be a weird game because it's they're going to be playing in white jerseys, which they would normally wear on the road.
Yeah, the white out. They're wearing the away jerseys at home.
Yeah. It's for the the Arctic Tundra,
the polar vortex
night.
Right. That's right.
So we're getting white T-shirts tomorrow, Aaron. Plus we also get a Olympian poster. So all the Wild Olympians.
I hope Parise is in his sweater, because I would be disappointed if the poster has him looking normal.
Fair enough.
Well,
wait, so, you wound up. I don't want to.
So that's the upcoming for our week, which actually kind of brings us into.
That's what she said.
Exactly.
I think that brings us to the game of the week.
Brings us to the game of the week. Because it's the only game that's going on. We're looking at last week's, though, which was Tampa Bay versus the Wild.
The Buccaneers?
Yeah, the Buccaneers. the Buccaneer Lightning Buccaneers last night was what was picked as the game of the week. I resoundingly lost.
And I was the winner.
Yay!
I picked the Wild to win 3-1. They ended up winning 2-1. That puts me in a tie with Kenny with 8 points. Jive is in second with 6. And poor Meat Beast is back in third.
Yeah. I think I was the only one to actually pick the Lightning, the Buccaneers, whatever.
It was a Florida team.
Yeah, something in Tampa-ish.
Well,
I think they play under the bay, don't they?
Maybe we can change the tides this week. Are you going to go with the opposing team this week?
No, I'm not. Actually, after checking all the goalies and all the fun, because obviously since we're picking the one game that's happening this week, I had to check on Rene's health and check the other goalies out and go, yeah, let's see.
Rene's still out, right?
Rene is still out, but I still pick the Wild to win at home because Rene, of course, plays like crap on the road. It has no good rating on the road, but he has a great rating at home.
But if he's not playing, that it offsets no it. Point.
But if he's not playing, doesn't matter. I did still pick the Wild, though, and I said 3-2 Wild winning tomorrow night.
Kenny, what did you go with?
I think the Wild are going to get a little bit more goals in that, and I think Kemper's going to keep it a little tighter. I'm going 3-1 Wild.
Well, since you guys took the Wild, I think I'm going to have to go with the Wild. And I'm going to take down the Wild, taking down Nashville 4-2. It'll be a close one, but I think the Wild will cap it off with an empty netter late in the game. So, you know, you guys will get to see it, you know, with your own eyes.
Hopefully you'll see us on TV.
Hopefully.
Please,
bring
no.
a sign.
Circle me, Bert. Green Man?
Wrong.
Green Man it?
Oh, man.
No one wants to see that.
I'm okay with Aaron dressing up in Green Man, but Kenny, no, not so much.
So everyone else is picking the Wild. I'm picking the Wild, too. Unfortunately, everyone else has picked all the other good scores, so I have to go out on a limb. So I'm going Wild winning 4-1.
Oh, Aaron, that's...
I want to be a blowout tomorrow. I want to hear that goddamn Joe Satriani BS song a billion times tomorrow night.
You don't want to hear the go horn there?
Which one? Is this Love from when he was with Whitesnake? I mean, which song are you talking about?
The punk rock anthem.
Yeah, is this Love from when he was with Whitesnake?
Touche.
Or did you mean the other song he did with Whitesnake?
Or the other butt rock songs that everything Joe Satriani.
Or that touched. One that he ripped off Silver Surfer from Marvel. I mean, which butt rock anthem are you talking about?
He is the epitome of butt rock, I'm pretty sure. With that said, though,
looks like we're up to the Olympics update.
Yeah, and for the Olympics, really
no bumper music.
Really, what we got going on here is a slight delay in hockey, basically, because the men's USA men's aren't going to be starting until next week. So, that said, I think that we are going to be
a little respite.
We're going to get our own Olympic break here, right?
Right.
But I do think we're gonna are we gonna have an episode here where we
we'll
discuss
some
of the Olympic
hockey? We'll have one either mid or tail end of the Olympics. Just okay. Because yeah, I mean, come on,
it all depends on how well the Team USA does.
Yeah, we'll see how they're doing. Right?
Regardless of how Team USA is doing, we gotta do something because we've got two of the captains, and come on, we've got five members of the Wild that are out there. Assuming Koivu might play, might only be four. Still, do we have anything else we want to cover tonight?
I think we're good. Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much, folks, for listening. This has been Three in the Box, the Minnesota Hockey Podcast. To my right, of course, is Aaron, and he's going to tell you how to find him.
Yeah, when Stalkers. I'm not talking here, you can follow me at AaronGNP on Twitter, and I'm also posting, live tweeting, live snarking at Three in the Box on Twitter during Wild Games.
Except for tomorrow. Because, you know, we're going to be enjoying it.
Yep.
And I think a couple of flasks in. We're
yeah, I was disappointed in no live tweeting right from the game last time.
We thought about it. Yeah. But it quickly realized that wasn't going to happen.
All right.
So.
And then, of course, we have Kenny.
Yep. Hopefully you can catch me on TV tomorrow night waving my hands and acting like an ass alongside my partner in crime, Aaron, over here. But we'll see what happens. Otherwise, you can follow me on Twitter at RottenK999.
Also, for the listeners at home, I have to tell you, Kenny finally took his hat off. He's naked in the studio right now. That's all he normally wears is that hat. I didn't realize. Oh, my God, Jive.
And, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jive Midnight. And thankfully, Kenny is not my wingman.
He's a good wingman. It makes it easy to push him towards you. But this is The Meat Beast. Thank you very much for listening. You can follow me at facebook.com/TheMeatBeast. Obviously, you can also follow us, as was said earlier, /3inthebox, the numeral 3inthebox, or at 3inthebox for Twitter. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back in the near future for our Olympic update.
Bye-bye.
Yo.
Yo, yo, yo.
Oh, yo, yo.
Yo.